The Farming Programme with Arroquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham. For all your steel needs, call their friendly experts.
It's that time of year when many are taking exams and looking forward to finishing school. But what next?
So we've got the T-level that offers the apprenticeship in reverse. We've got traditional apprenticeship route where they're out working with employers. And we've obviously got the new AGCO contract coming into its third year of running, which is especially around the land-based engineering side in particular.
Cereals has another new home and it's only days away. What's on this year?
It's still going to be as diverse as it always is. It's going to be showing all different types of arable farming systems, supported by a revamped seminar stage.
We've another big tractor run coming up and some timely agronomy advice, the week's farming news, market reports and weather.
The Week in Agriculture. This is The Farming Programme with Steve Orchard.
Hello, hope it's been a good week for you. Dare I say it, the weather looks a bit drier and a bit more settled for the next few days. We'll have the forecast at the end of the show. This is the Farming Programme podcast for Sunday, the 2nd of June, 2024. I'm Steve Orchard. In the news this week, we're being warned to be on high security alert after a well-organised break-in at a secure plant protection product distributor store in Norfolk. Criminals severed communication lines, then climbed onto the roof, made a hole to gain entry, but fled empty-handed after triggering an alarm system which called out police and staff to the site. And there's been a new wave of GPS thefts in Lincolnshire, North Yorkshire, Essex, Newport and the Thames Valley in recent weeks. It's one of the most targeted pieces of farm equipment due to its high value and portability. Humberside Police said they'd recovered 48 GPS units that one pair alone had stolen. Emergency approval has been granted for the use of Curtis Belchim's mineral oil Oli H on seed potatoes, offering protection against non-persistent aphid-vectored viruses. It coats the crop's leaves with a thin film, which then disrupts the acquisition and transmission of virus by the aphid stylet. The whole of the UK has declared itself free from high-pass bird flu. At the same time, Defra releases details of a new £22 million grant for laying hens and pullet housing. We spoke about this on the programme last week. Have a look at the Defra website for details. And new legislation on hedgerow management's come into force, but many of the exemptions under cross-compliance continuing. The 2-metre buffer strips and no-cutting period continue, and Defra is aiming at a reduction in red tape and a cooperative approach to enforcement and sanctions. The Rural Payments Agency will continue its role as regulator. Cereals is moving to Hertfordshire this year onto a 45-hectare site with a lot to see, to say the least. With a taster, here's AgriHub's Natalie Noble.
So there's lots of space for over 450 exhibitors this year, which is a steady rise on last year and the year before that as well. So it's great to have this real strong catalogue of different agricultural businesses offering services, products, consultation. There's heaps of new technology, and I think what's really exciting about this year, which I think everybody will find really exciting actually, is that we've got a new event, co-hosted, co-located event called Direct Driller at Cereals alongside Direct Driller Magazine. What that is really aiming to do is to target the regenerative aspect of agriculture, which is a huge topic that everybody is really elbow deep in, trying to explore, trying to better understand. So that will really give that focus to that area, whereas the rest of the cereals, the main event, is still going to be as diverse as it always is. It's going to be showing all different types of arable farming systems, supported by a revamped seminar stage, sponsored by KWS, that's the Seed to Shelf seminar stage. And that's going to cover everything, like it says in the title, from seed to shelf. So we'll incorporate talks from farmers, end users. It looks set to be a pretty packed agenda, which was organised by Farmers Weekly. Great speakers like Ollie Harrison as well, who's pretty popular in the agricultural world and knows a thing or two about farming. There's the working demonstrations at Cereals, which everybody loves. There's over 200 working demonstrations this year. There's a range of technologies, practices, so many different types of working demonstrations, of new kit. There are a few product launches and exciting exciting machinery launches happening at Cereals, so do come along to check those out. We've also got the Syngenta Sprays and Sprayers Arena, which again is another popular site where you get to see all the latest technology in sprays and sprayers technology. We've got the NAAC Land Drainage Hub, which I think actually is an important topic at the moment with our ever-changing climatic conditions. You know, drainage isn't there, as farmers will well know, for just the wet days. It's there for the drought as well. And it looks set to provide some very interesting discussions around the use of contractors and different ways of creating more effective long-term drainage solutions in fields, which will hopefully really assist farmers in building more resilient arable businesses, arable enterprises, and maintaining the integrity and health of soils, which of course is so fundamental to crop yields and longevity and productivity. So we've also got a bit of a fun feature as well. Well, they're all fun, but it comes back every year and it's always very, very good to watch people. It's the Isuzu driving experience, which is set out on a I would describe as a cross-country course.
Yeah, I did that a couple of years ago and I really was not very good at it at all. I'll stick to roads. I'm far better at that.
Yeah, I tend to get a sandwich or something and just go and watch a lot of young, what's the word, confident young people.
So we've got lots of exhibitors. We've got lots of speakers. We've got the drilling area. Lots of opportunities to learn and CPD points as well.
There is the opportunity to gain your CPD points. And what I didn't mention as the features, which is extremely important and absolutely at the heart of Cereals, of course, is the crop lots, which have been really well looked after by Jonathan Backhouse, who is an absolute wonder. Every year at Cereals, an absolute wonder. And he's supported by the agronomy team at Cereals Rural, headed up by Will Davies. And we've got over 600 individual crop lots this year, which is a phenomenal amount of different types of crops to see. But they are also demonstrating not only new recommended varieties, but new types of chemicals and also biological options as well. Again, it's all being based around science and really building these resilient businesses that can stand up to the different climates. And we've got the soil hole again, which is another feature which people love.
And the guys there will be able to explain what the crops are, how they were grown, what chemicals they used on them, so that farmers can then take away and think, yeah, that worked well, I'll give that a try, or that didn't work quite so well, I'll try something else.
Exactly. And it's really important as well to sort of highlight that the way that those sites are managed are to closely as possible recreate an on-farm system. So, you know, not overloading crops with an excessive amount of fertilizer. You know, we really want to show the crops as they are in a field, as you might see them on farm. It's been an extraordinarily wet year, and those crops went in just as poor conditions as everybody else's, and they have seen signs of suffering. But like I said, Ceres and Jonathan have done a really great job at just trying to keep those crop plots really well maintained, so that come the 11th and 12th of June, they are looking fantastic. And we had our crop plot day preview on the 25th of April, and the crop plots look fantastic. And the exhibitors, there's over 25 of them as well for the crop plots. We're all very happy and positive about what was going to be on display.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. So 11th and 12th of June, as you say, where is it and where can we go for more information?
So if you want to visit the cerealsevent.co.uk website, all the details are on there. You need to register for your tickets. You can register for just the Cereals main event, and you can also buy tickets for both the co-hosted event, the direct driller at Cereals. If you buy those two tickets together, it's just providing a much cheaper way of getting the best of both worlds. Bygrave Woods at Newnham Farm, Hertfordshire. Car park opens at 6, gates open at 7, stands open at 8. There's also a bar and entertainment, so you're going to have a really great time. Let's keep our fingers crossed for some brilliant weather.
Yes, if only it was that easy just to keep fingers crossed. But yeah, all the details, as you say, cerealsevent.co.uk, 11th and 12th of June. Look forward to it and see you there. And Natalie, thank you so much for the information. Thanks for joining us on the Farming Programme this morning.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the crops now and get some timely agronomy advice in the company of our crop doctor, Sean Sparling. Good morning. It's summer, Sean. Or is it?
Yes, morning, Steve. Ah, another week of weather goes by, and now we're into flaming June. We should be able to expect a bit of a change in this weather, perhaps a bit of warm rain rather than this windy, cold stuff we've got used to. But it really has scuppered things once again, in all seriousness, this week, meaning we're starting to see a real backlog of spraying on farm. I was on one of mine the other day. We've got just over 980 hectares of outstanding spraying on that particular farm, all of which should have been done last week. So everything's starting to stack up now, whether that be fungicides on the cereals, whether that be herbicides or insecticides on the sugar beet, nitrogen still to apply on some fields as well. So everything getting a little bit panicky, but fair to say that a week of dry, still warm weather would solve most of our problems, logistically anyway. So we'll start with winter wheat. And as I've been saying, much higher disease pressure than we're used to over the last couple of seasons. Yellow rust in particular, on Incitor, Gleam, Skyfall, really taking some stopping in these cool, wet conditions, which suit that disease down to the ground. The same conditions that are stopping any of our progress. Septoria tritici now starting to show its hand as well, moving up the plant, and clearly the disease to worry about. Conditions have been so good for the spread and proliferation of tritici, wet, cool, windy conditions, and that high disease pressure leading all of the fungicide choices and dose decisions. As I said last week, there were many who took that decision to go cheap and cheerful at T1, not seeing any potential in these crops to justify any more spend than that. But as I've said for decades on this programme, it's a false economy to cut back on fungicides at T1 or T2 in any season. T0, yes. T3, probably yes. Both of those can be tweaked and fiddled with. But what a high disease pressure year like this proves is, beyond all doubt, the disease does not care whether you've got a poor crop or not. And that disease is going to hammer that crop if you don't take steps to stop it. And that's really what we're starting to see now. We can see fields literally disappearing under the pressure of yellow rust and septoria, which is decimating the green leaf area right up onto the flag leaf. And you can see these fields as you drive about the county, and those fields are acting as a source of yellow rust and septoria infection for the rest of us. But of course, in reality, every single field of wheat on your farm is acting as its own source of infection for you, in the misbits, around telegraph poles, on the wide wheeling. But very visible and clear proof, if proof were ever needed, that fungicides may well be very expensive, but they really are worth their money in a season like this. And getting that money back from disease control in a bad year is an absolute given. Revistar and Inatrek, of course, been around for a couple of seasons now, proven in the field. New ones this year, Iblon and Adepidin, but you pay your money and you take your choice. Any one of those products could be game changers to you this year, so use them wisely and don't dismiss them on price. Talking to colleagues across the country, further south, Hampshire way for example, things are getting very complicated with disease and septoria, yellow rust in particular, brown rust all going a bit crackers, and crops struggling to withstand the pressure. Up here, from what I've seen so far in my fields anyway, we're not at that stage or close to it, but that could change very, very quickly. So as soon as it comes anything like, I'd be prioritising any outstanding T2s on my wheats if I were you. These crops really are moving quickly now, and that disease needs to be kept off those top three leaves if at all possible. There's always another opportunity to top up foliar disease control at the T3 timing, of course, but with first anthers presenting in some of the wheat fields now, these crops are somewhere between growth stage 56 and 63 or so, I think, in the main, and considering the wet and thundery conditions we're in, ear diseases are now a real threat as well in the year that keeps on giving. So thinking ahead maybe 7 or 10 days at most, with T2 still to go on in many fields, you should concentrate on that septoria at T2, but a product with incidental control of fusarium or microdochium may well help you. Many of the yet to apply T2s will be going on to that emerging or even emerged ears, so you may well get some incidental control of fusarium and microdochium. Some of the triazoles suppress the fusarium species, the strobs pretty active in the case of microdochium, and newer materials like Adepidin and Iblon have effect on ear diseases as well, which would be a bonus in a diseasy year like this. Remember, if we get warm, wet weather at flowering of the wheat in the sort of conditions we find ourselves in now, to be fair, then it tends to be Fusarium ear disease complex, Graminearum and Culmorum, of the most concern here in the UK, because they produce the Dons and the Zons toxins, as well as reducing the yield, of course, by infesting the ears and reducing the grain numbers at the grain set. But if the heat wave fails to come and we stay in this cool, wet, damp, windy weather through the period, it tends to be Microdochium nivali which flourishes. And there's plenty of that laying about out here already waiting to pounce. It lives on the trash and the straw debris, and we're seeing a lot more of that since so many people have adopted min-till, no-till, total non-inversion methods of cultivation, and obviously far more maize being grown here in the county these days. Massive amounts of fusarium infection spores produced on maize debris. Microdochium and fusarium also spread by infected seed from last year. Culmorum and graminearum, they're the ones which infected the stem base earlier this season, causing that widespread stem base browning, of which there was plenty around that T1 timing. But both of these fusarium species start to release spores around about now as the wheat starts to flower. Rain splash asexual spores, or Conidia fusarium culmorum, windblown asexual spores, or Asker spores, the source of inoculum from graminearum. Because with min-till and regen ag leaving so much more trash about in the field, and the current wet weather we're enjoying, all that maize, it's a perfect storm really for a really bad fusarium year in 2024. So just think about that. If you add into all of that the fact there are very few varieties which have an awful lot of resistance to ear diseases, you can see why timing of that T1 and T2, and especially the T3, now could be so important. Nutrient deficiencies far more widespread than I've seen for several seasons. Manganese, magnesium, zinc, boron, not hard to find. And in particular, an awful lot of sulfur deficiency showing up. Spring wheat, spring barley, winter wheat, sugar beet, peas, beans, all showing sulfur deficiency. It's a very distinctive deficiency and something very easy to identify, so speak to your advisor and get them to show you. Not quite as easy to remedy, but there are some very good foliar products which work relatively quickly if they can be applied at the right time and before things get too advanced. Blight weather now as well in these thundery conditions. Potato blight, the same pathotype as downy mildew, of course, so be prepared for that to turn up in the beans and the peas. So plenty to do now that Flaming June's got here. Hopefully the new month brings a change to more still, warmer, calmer, less wet conditions, then we can start to think about getting caught up. So let's see what the next 7 days bring.
Thanks as ever, Sean. See you next week. Still to come on the Farming Programme podcast, we'll take a look at the markets and the weather. And attention, school years 9 and 10 and those finishing school soon. We've got some advice from Rice Home College's Sharon Kirby.
The Farming Programme with Araquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham, supplying the region for over 40 years.
This is the Farming Programme podcast. I'm Steve Orchard. Exams and the end of school coming up for many. What's the plan for September? Start work? More school? Don't know? Or college, perhaps? Sharon Kirby is Higher Education Lead for Agri at Lincolnshire's Rice Home College, and she's here with some advice for school leavers. But first, Sharon, you've got something big for years 9 and 10 coming soon. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
So essentially, Steve, we on the 2nd of July, we're having this Sustainable Futures Day for years 9 and 10 invited students over from the schools to take a sample of what we do here. So they'll spend on a rotation 45 minutes in each section, so animal, equine, sport, agriculture, etc., working around some of the skills that they would need to work in that sector. So hopefully what we're after is engaging the future students, so therefore our industries can be more sustainable moving forward with their employment, with employees.
And is this intended to give the students a flavour of what they might study if they were to come to Rice Home later on?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. So it's not quite a day in the life, but they're here for half a day working around the different curriculum areas just to see what sort of activities we will be doing, they would be doing if they were a student. And again, it's about engaging those learners that might not have thought about coming to Rice Home College as a option at post-16.
And is it for students as well that might not have thought about a career in agriculture, maybe to give them a bit of a flavour of it's not just sitting on a tractor all day?
Absolutely. So within the agricultural element, we've got tractor driving, we've got welding, we've got a little bit of engineering, looking at circuit building, bit of livestock work, bit of soil science, etc. So it's to show them that it isn't just about being a farmer's son or daughter. You can actually come and be an agricultural student without having that background.
Okay. Is that day still open to schools? Have they had to register? Can they still register?
Yeah, it's still open as far as I'm aware, and it's up to schools to register their interest with our marketing team here at Risum, and that can be done through the inquiries form on the website.
We'll get all the contact details at the end, but let's move on to the next academic year. Here we are into June, and it's not that far before you'll be sat here again, starting off with another crop of students. So what's on offer at Risum for next academic year?
Yeah, so time really does fly. Goodness me, it's not that long ago since I sat talking to you before. So the big thing for us this year is the new T-level, which I mentioned last year, that was coming online. So we'll have our first tranche of students coming onto the T-level land base with agriculture as a specialism, and we'll be offering crops and livestock as an option. So that's quite exciting for us.
Where does T-level sit then in the sort of range of different qualifications?
So the best way to think about it is an apprenticeship in reverse. So they have to do 4 days in college, 1 day on placement. So it's an apprenticeship in reverse. So it's post-16, aimed at those students that are 16 plus with 5 GCSEs at grade C in the old language, 4 or 5 and above, with especially maths and English. So it sits in that gap, that 16 to 18-year-old gap, and it's equivalent to 3 A-levels.
OK, so practical courses and academic courses, you've got the options there. Because a lot of people say, well, I'm not a university-type person. I want to learn on the job and so on. There are those combination courses, aren't there?
Absolutely. So we've got the T-level that offers the apprenticeship in reverse. We've got the traditional apprenticeship route where they're out working with employers, and they are still as popular as ever. And we've obviously got the new AGCO contracts coming into its third year of running, which is especially around the land-based engineering side in particular.
I'm sure you're going to say there's something for everybody, but what kind of entry-level results? I mean, we're a little bit off getting results now, but it will soon come round and thoughts start turning to what do I need to have to get into college?
Yeah, so we do have something for everybody, whether they've not achieved any GCSEs. So we have foundation studies as well as level one. So that might be, foundation might be targeted at those learners with an EHCP, an educational healthcare plan. The level one is for no GCSEs. Level two, they might not quite have got their fours and fives, might have got threes and fours. And then the level three is for those students that have got their fours and fives. So yeah, we do have a range for everybody and every group of students, really.
When it comes to results time, and if somebody's got maybe a focus on what they would ideally want to do, and I hate to say it, but the results don't come up quite what they were hoping for, what should they do?
Well, give us a call, basically. So we have a helpline desk that's manned throughout that period, especially around the GCSE results days. And some students might not quite have got there. But as I've just said, we have a range of courses to suit. And there is opportunities that if they've not quite got the grades for some of them, they could ask for some of it to be remarked, especially in maths and English. And the schools will always advise on that as well.
OK. Now, we've got this School Sustainable Future Day coming up. But for those students who are coming up to results time, maybe they're not taking part in that. Are there open days? Can they come and have a look and chat and find out what's going on at Risum?
Yeah, we've got our next open day on June the 15th, Saturday, June the 15th from 10 till 1. So that's a great opportunity to come and have a walk round and have a get a feel of the place, have a chat to the staff as well. And then we've got some welcome days later on in the summer to, again, come and have a day in the life of.
Yeah. Okay. And if somebody wants to sit and look at what's available on the website, contact details there, etc.
Yeah, everything's on the website. So that's risum.ac.uk.
Okay. Well, let's look forward to another successful year. And as you say, it'll soon come round, won't it? Thanks, Sharon.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Steve. Great to see you again. Thank you.
The Farming Programme.
Market reports.
Starting with livestock and Louth Market auctioneer Ed Middleton. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Starting off with the prime cattle this week, prime heifers all in average 266.34 pence per kilo, and prime steers all in average 270. Top price in the steers this week came from J&S Brooks of Strubby at £1,701. And pen the pence per kilo, again J&S Brooks of Strubby at 283.5 pence per kilo. In the prime heifers, J&S Brooks again at £1,643.95 And in the pence per kilo, JC Scully of Bournemouth at 279.5 pence per kilo. Moving on to the prime sheep, prime lambs this week had an SQQ of 401.58 pence per kilo and an all-in average of £174.75. Top price this week in the pence per kilo and the pounds per head were Emma Benge of Horsington for a smashing blue Texel side lamb at £200 and topping the pence per kilo at 415 pence per kilo. A few prime hogs still about with an SQQ this week of 274.93 and an all-in average of £137.98. A.G. Coulson and Sons topped the hogs at 180 and F. Cosgrove and Son of Hayington topped the SQQ at 345 pence per kilo. On to the Collieus, another good entry, topping at £198 for H. Bevins of Friskany. Another grand entry of ewes and lambs forward, a fantastic quality, with some very young sheep on offer. Matthew Dunnington of Wrangle sold an excellent runner of ewes and lambs, with strong Texel lambs at selling to £116 per life for mule one crop ewes, or £324 for a family. Next week is our spring lamb and prime cattle show and sale. Entries are required in the spring lamb section. We have classes for a pair of under 44 kilos and a pair of over 44 kilos. A grand total of £225 prize money up for grabs, kindly sponsored by Starline Feeds Limited.
Thanks, Ed, and to the grain markets with Open Fields, Kit Dickinson. Morning, Kit.
Good morning, Steve. Wheat prices moved back close to recent highs as concerns over production prospects in major exporting countries intensified. The market has since backed off slightly as the narrative is being changed by some analysts to the current lack of demand at the higher price levels. Consumers are doing what they do best under these circumstances, buying hand to mouth and leaving their forward needs largely uncovered, hoping that prices will fall. Consumers benefited from fund selling early in the year as prices tanked, with fund managers showing scant regard for farms' incomes on the way down, so it is unlikely they will consider a plight of consumers if they adopt a more bullish stance going forward. Funds are now long Matif wheat futures and they have reduced their CBOT position significantly, so they will need monitoring closely going forward. Numerous analysts moved their Russian crop closer to 80 million metric tons with fear that a dip below if conditions do not improve. Russian weather is currently too dry, with abnormal temperatures in the winter wheat areas in the south and too wet in the spring wheat area in the central regions, whilst recent frosts have caused more damage than originally thought. French wheat production remains a concern, with talk turning to how much below 30 million metric tons the final number will be, given their continued rainfall and lack of sunlight in what appears to be a mirror image of the UK. Romania is dry, as parts of the Baltics and Scandinavia are as well. Prospects for a much better crop in Spain, however, are good. North Africa, especially Morocco, is dry, as it is in Western Australia, whilst the US Central Southern Plains is getting needed moisture. So moving forward to barley this week, cool and wet weather has dominated over most of the Northern Europe and Scandinavian crop over the last week or two, giving most crops an ideal start to the growing season, with the French reporting a 75% good to excellent to date in their crop. This should go some way to repairing the damage done by late planting. The UK and EU will need sunshine soon to realise the crop potential. With this in mind, the brewer and maltster are seemingly relaxed, with the premium viewed by them as too high versus the area planted. Historically high premiums still hold, while sellers are nervous about committing sales going forward. The next 3 to 4 weeks weather outlook, as always, is a critical time of year. If we see an increase in farm sales, it is difficult to see the premium remaining at these levels without demand picking up. Oilseed rape. After reaching recent highs last week, Matif rapeseed has pulled back slightly, but keeps retesting the resistance against the 500 euro mark on the November contract. Concerns of the EU crop continue to support the market as cold, wet and dull weather across Western Europe hamper the crop development. So far this week, Matif has shrugged off any pressure from Chicago soybeans, which has been sharply down. Cheap South American exports have weighed on the market, along with faster than expected US soybean planting. On Tuesday, the USDA reported the US soybean planting to be at 68% complete, ahead of the average, analysts estimating 66% and the five-year average of 63%. There has been another dry window in the Midwest, which has helped planting progress before the rains are forecast to return at the end of the week. So looking at prices this week, feed wheat for June, 186 to 196. August off the combine, 196 to 206. November, 206 to 216. February, 210 to 220. and May 213 to 223. Milling wheat premiums for new crop are circa £65. Feed barley for June, old crop 162 to 172, August new crop off the combine 164 to 174, November 180 to 190, February 182 to 192, and a small increase to May 185 to 195. For malting barley premiums, do speak to your open field farm business manager. And lastly, oilseed rate for June 377 to 387, for August 375 to 385, and November 387 to 397.
Thanks, Kit. We'll check the weather in a sec, but first, it's Open Farm Sunday next week. Do tweet, or X if you're taking part, at Farming Show, and we'll spread the word. Also next Sunday, it's the 16th annual Lincolnshire Wolds Tractor Run, which ends at an Open Farm Sunday event. Let's get the route and some details with organiser Pete Hammond. The 16th year you've done it.
It is, yes. I mean, we're the house stalwarts, and I've actually been thinking recently of the inspiration. There's a lot of tractor runs about now, and they're all being done for such fantastic causes. But, you know, we like to think we're the inspiration for a lot of them, and we're proud of that. So, you know, we've been going for a long time now.
And for this year, to celebrate your 16th year, you're asking the drivers to dress the tractors.
Well, we did a little bit of it last year, on the theme of Marie Curie, in which their symbol is a daffodil. So we went along the lines of yellow, and actually there was quite a few of them turned out with some good decorations on the tractors and themselves, actually.
And you raised quite a bit for Marie Curie last year, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We went over the 2,000 mark again last year and actually reached three.
So you did a brilliant job once again. And it's Marie Curie again this year, yeah?
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, it's one of those. We wish we could go away, the terminal illness, and we could eliminate some of that. But unfortunately, we can't. And the unfortunate fact as well is the fact that every one of these charities relies on donations from the public to keep going. So every little bit helps in a big ocean of finance that they want, but hopefully our little bit helps and provides some hours of care that they can use.
Well, it's more than a little bit, Pete. It's, you know, £2,000-£3,000 is a lot of money, and you know, well done to you for organising it. Let's hope you do just as well, if not better, this year. Give us an idea of the route, then.
We should be leaving Ludbury Yard at around 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, we had a good turnout in the yard last year. We've got some catering on the go. We had quite a few people in the yard, so please come and see us there. And then we should probably be heading over the Wolds in the direction of Ludford, Six Hills, Tealby, which is always a picturesque route to go through Tealby Village to see all the houses and gardens there, and eventually winding our way round to the Open Farm Sunday event at Stoke-in-the-Vale again.
And what kind of time do you expect to be getting back to Stoke-in-the-Vale?
I'm always in trouble, Steve, because I'm supposed to be there about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and there's always some hiccup somewhere which creates another half an hour, and I'm always in trouble for not being on time. But we roughly like to get there about 1 o'clock time, and it's always a pleasure to see everybody there. Roughly, they know when we're coming, and there's always a good crowd there to greet us, which we love to see.
Any idea how many you've got?
I don't know. There's been some inquiries. The regular people will come. We've had one or two new people inquiring about coming on the run. So hopefully we'll get 50, 60 on it. That's our average most years.
And can people just turn up, or would you rather they contacted you to book in?
No, if the venue is Cordwell's farmyard in the middle of Loughborough, DN36 5SG. Ours will be about from early hours. Just turn up. It's £15 for a tractor. Included in that is a steel plaque as a memory of the day, which are quite collectible. Even people who don't bring a tractor, so they'll buy one of those. And then also included in that, which we provide, is an hog roast bun when they get to Stainley Vale. And if anybody did want to come from distance and wanted to leave the tractor overnight, bring it on the Saturday afternoon, just give me a ring and we can provide provision for that. It's a good, secure yard under barrier and camera, so they're quite welcome to come the day before.
All right. And there is a Facebook page, isn't there, with information and how to contact you?
That's right. If you put Links Wild Tractor Running, it'll come up with the Facebook page. It's been there for a while and there's been quite a bit of interest on that with the figures that have, people liked it and interested in it. So it's all looking good.
Brilliant. Well, have a fantastic day. Fingers crossed for the weather as ever. It's a great sight to see. The 16th annual Wolds Tractor Run takes place next Sunday. Pete, good luck. Hope you get lots of people.
Yes. Thanks ever so much, Steve, for your contacting us every year. It means a lot to us, inclusion in your programme. You're the voice of farming, Steve. There's not many voices that we can listen to, and you're one of them, and it's much appreciated.
Thank you for that, Pete. Do appreciate it. And, hope you have lots of people and hope you raise loads of money for Marie Curie. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, Steve.
The Farming Programme. 5-day forecast.
It does look drier and a bit more settled this week. Just a bit of light rain at times most days under mostly cloudy skies. Light winds mostly from the west and daytime highs in the mid to upper teens Celsius. Well, that's your lot for this time on the Farming Programme podcast. Next week, Lincolnshire Show is getting close. We'll see what's in store this year and have a look at the rest of the week in agriculture. I'm Steve Orchard. Until then, have a great week.
The Farming Programme with Arroquip Steel Stockholders, Withambrook Industrial Estate Grantham, BSI ISO 9001 accredited.